This call is being recorded.
Okay, let's get started. I guess we start with the presentations from Sandeep and Vaibhav. I'm not sure how whether I pronounce your name correctly. So please introduce yourself, maybe. We can start.
Yeah, sure. You almost pronounced it correctly. Yeah. So I was working on designing a parser to convert an open API specification to Hydra specification so that we can spin up Hydra servers automatically. Just provide an easy migration experience for users who are coming from open API to Hydra. So I went through so I basically started by studying how Open API is different from Hydra's, and I arrived at a conclusion that Open API is much more descriptive. Hence, converting to Hydra might be a little bit tricky. So firstly, I had to start by mapping different components from like what should be mapped from Open API to Hydra. So can I just share my screen?
Yeah, sure. Did we lose you, or are you just trying to share your screen?
Okay. Yeah, is my screen visible now?
Yes. Yeah,
I think it is. Okay, so I just picked this default Open API specification for a APIs to for a pet store. So basically, you can like add a pet, update the pet, and find various searching methods and all of other stuff. Like there are on the right hand side you can see what all models are present and what all methods are given on those models basically. So this is the default which comes over here. So I started working on this and I tried mapping. So right now, how the parser works is we basically start by picking up host from here, base path from here, and we go on to paths. So firstly, we go to the whatever path comes first, and we just see what all parameters it takes in the request and what all responses we get from there. And we map them to the models given here, and we parse each. So a model in Open API becomes a Hydra class, and the parameters in the requests become. Let me just show you how it looks like after the conversion. So let's just have a look at one of the classes. So this is a class APIs forms. This is how it looks after it's being converted. So there is only one operation on API response, which is a post. Let's see how it looks over here. Let's just go with user for now. We can see there's a user method for post over here, and we can see it over here as well. And yeah, so user is a collection because it takes multiple objects as an input and like can give multiple multiple objects as an output as well. Yeah, so this is the user collection over here. We can see there are like two operations here, get and put. The post operation was not possible in Hydrus yet because Hydrus does not currently support arrays as in request. So let me just like remove this existing converted HydraDoc, and I can just run this, and the HydraDoc is created from the OpenAPI doc. And yeah, so mostly the models were mapped to classes. The paths were mapped to the supported operations, and we could directly pick up the responses from the responses object in the OpenAPI for each status code and description, etc. So there are these schemas given over here. So if the schema is present locally as a model, we directly go to that path and we parse that model, which in this case is the order one, and we attach a reference to that in the HydraDoc. If this is a URL, we include it directly. But if it's a semantic reference, we are leaving it blank for now because we don't have any efficient way of knowing that. So we just leave it blank and put a placeholder asking the user to insert manually whatever semantic reference he wants. Within the model, we have these properties. So model is a class. These ID and name become the supported properties. So in the case of API response, there's code type and message. We can see here it's a code and type and message. This is how we do it for every class and every path. Right now there are some restrictions due to Hydra and due to Hydrus, which we have tried to take care of as much as possible, but things we could not handle were left blank for now. Yeah, I think that's it for now. I would like to know any questions.
It's Carl speaking. Excuse me for being ignorant. I think the OpenAPI just handles only the, let's say, API documentation level. Am I correct?
So OpenAPI basically, OpenAPI specification creates a doc for describing what all methods and what all endpoints are available, and uh-huh. After that we can create mock servers from that and interact with those to see how they work.
Okay, so generally speaking, just being mapped to this API documentation part that Hydra comes with. And no hypermedia controls are available in OpenAPI. Am I correct?
You can insert semantic references in the so there is a schema object in OpenAPI. In there you can give any sort of reference you want. It can be a local or it can be a URL indicating a semantic reference, if that answers your question.
Yeah, I understand, but this can be only done let's say in an ad hoc mode. So for instance, when I enter in an entry point, I can grab all the details I'm interested on and then proceed with the API itself.
I'm sorry, I did not get you. Can you please repeat?
Okay, maybe other way. The biggest giveaway from Hydra is that you can embed the hypermedia controls within the every single request response communication pattern. So every time you make a web request, for instance, you can receive a payload that already contains some more hypermedia controls that can drive your client. And my understanding is that OpenAPI does not support such behavior. I don't know OpenAPI, so that's why the question. All you do is you just try to convert all that is possible from an open API that describes an entry point on an endpoint to Hydra.
I think we can also provide hypermedia support, like not totally, but somewhat. Right now we are just converting whatever we can convert from OpenAPI to Hydra. If the URIs are provided, we are mapping it directly. Otherwise, we are leaving it up to the end user to insert them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One more question. Is there, let's say, any list of features that you found problematic when using Hydra? So, for instance, you mentioned something about missing arrays in Hydra, etc., etc. So, is there any chance to grab such a list so we can, for instance, compare directly what OpenAPI can and what Hydra cannot, or maybe makes difficult?
Yeah, of course. I think I did share a small list of problematic areas on the mailing list. I'll grab that email and send a comprehensive list to on the mailing list as well after the call.
Yes, please do so. I think it might be useful also to push this list, I don't know, on IRC.
Okay, yeah, sure.
As well. As it could be a great input for the conference call.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, thanks. Probably this list might be a great input just to make us move further.
Yeah,
we had several talks on what Hydra misses, just to make a good attempt to developers to make developers use Hydra instead of other solutions.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Does anyone else have a question? If not, let's move on to the next presentation. I unfortunately don't have one myself because I had audio problems. So I'll need to watch the recording afterwards. But let's move on.
Yeah, sure. So, hi. So, actually, now we will talk about Hydra client. So, we have a repo, Python Hydra agent. So, actually, it is not only a client, it is more than a client, because it also caches the data of the Hydra server. And we have implemented with the Redis database and the Python language. So here we will talk about how it is working and what it's worth. So there are so many modules, but there are some important modules like query mechanism. Actually, it will take some inputs like URL. URL is just for endpoint. It will connect the Hydra server to the client. And the query is the endpoint for the Redis database, which will help in extracting the data from the Redis. So here in the query mechanism is just like a module for the interactive with the user. And the other modules like Hydra graph and the collection endpoints and the class endpoints are just using by query mechanism for just like Hydra graph. Hydra graph is using for connecting the server to the client. And the collection endpoint and the classes and objects are also same. It works for the, as its name, collection endpoints is working for the fetches the data or for the collections and store it in Redis, and same for the classes. And uses the Redis data, it will query. So we can have a demo. Can I share my screen?
Yeah, of course, go ahead.
Actually, that was problem in my browser. I was using. Hello.
Hello. Maybe try using the microphone on the computer you had before and just sharing in the other tab.
Hello. It's fine now?
Yeah, this seems to work well now.
Thanks.
I unmuted you, Sandy, in case you want to say something.
Hello, can you see my screen?
Yes.
Yes, you. So here. Have a demo for Python Hydra agent or a Hydra client. So here, actually we are also have a Docker image, but I have some imaging problem with Docker. So I will run it manually. Here we are starting a Redis server for store the data from the Hydra server in the Redis. And here we will run the client, and it needs input URL. So actually what this URL will be done. We have this a remote server, and we are using this for fetching the data into our Redis server, and we can query in the Redis. So here it will connect. So actually it is committing and done. So here it is connect the Hydra server to the client, and now it is ready for the query. So if we have also an option like help, so here help will show all the querying formats. We have defined its querying formats also, so user can query with this query format, and we can do like show endpoints. So it will show all endpoints which will be under in this endpoints. Yeah, so these are the class plus collection endpoints. So if we want class or collection endpoint individually, we can simply like this. It can show the class endpoint and same as the collection endpoints. And yeah, if we want the any collection member, like we have this, so there are so many objects, there are so many endpoints in the collection, like data stream and message collection, drawn log collection, drawn collection. So as we want to data of the drawn collection endpoint, so here drawn collection members, so there are the defined like so collection endpoints member. So we will type collection endpoints and members. So are the is in this in all this squaring format, so is not necessary. It can be used or not, it depends on you. So if we are using drawn collection member, so it is fetching the members of drawn collection endpoint from the server, like this. You can see this, it will fetching the four objects in drawn collection endpoints to the client Redis server, and these are four objects, and we can do other queries like this based on this querying format, like objects drawn properties. Yeah, these are the properties, and it will also show the properties value. But for the properties value, it will again fetch the data from the server and store it in Redis. So actually it is not loading the whole data for any endpoint to the Redis server. It will fetch the data in parts, like for first URL it fetch only the collection and classes endpoints. But when we use the any collection endpoint or any class endpoints like drawn collection members, so we are using here the collection endpoint and we want its member, so it will fetch all its member from the server and store in Redis and cache it. Every time when we use drawn collection member, it will show it from the Redis instantly. It will not take time as like here. You can see, yeah, as like this, there is nothing like this. And it can be connected to the any Hydra server. So it is basically a Hydra client. It is working like this. And yeah, we can also discuss how it is working. So actually it is a module querymechanism.py, and it is using all the modules, like here you can see these things: collection endpoints, class endpoints, and Hydra graph. So query mechanism is only interactive. It will take the data from the user and it will call the collection endpoints, and it fetches the data. Collection endpoint fetches the data, fetches the collection data from the server to the Redis. So we can also querying about all other queries which is designed in the query format. But now we can explore it in Hydra Astro demo. We also have a Hydra Astro demo. Hello. Am I audible?
I still hear you. So it's all good.
Yeah. So now we can talk about the Hydra Astro demo. Hydra Astro demo is generally a web demo. We can see it here. Just a second. we need to here also the start the Redis server. So here we start the Redis server, and here we will run the app. For now, it is working only on local system. We are planning to live it soon. Yeah, it is the demo, Hydra S2 demo. It is using the Hydra client, and we can do all this stuff which we can do in the terminal. We can do all this stuff here, like we have endpoints like this. It will connect. It is a URL, just like we are given to URL in the terminal. It is a URL which will help to connect the Hydra client to the Hydra server. So here we are connecting. Yeah, it's connect. So here, these are the endpoints in this endpoint of the server. There are the endpoints. These are the collection endpoints with also the class endpoints. Just like location is a class endpoint, and all others are the collection endpoints here. So if we want to fetch the members of collection endpoints, we can put here. So it is fetching the members, and it will show the members of all the drone collection members. And now it is stored in Redis. It is working same. We are using the Hydra client in this. So actually it is working the same, and we can also use history and click on that. It will again show that. And if we click on location, it is a class endpoint, so it will provides its properties. So location has only one property, and we also can find its value like this. It is also a querying format type. So it is a location is class name, and property value means here is property with the value. Here we can get that. Yeah, location, and this is the value of all these things. And we are also have some like complex queries. Like we can query like this model XYZ. We can query like this. We want all the drone who have model XYZ. So yeah, these are the four drones. Actually, all the four drones have model XYZ. And if we more filter that, there will be named drone one and model will be XYZ. So there are this drone epic drone collection two is a member which have named drone one. And this, and we are also using and or means more complicated like this. Yeah, just like this. Here is drawn. Here we can use or and both in one query, so it is more complex than before. And we will push. What is this? Just a minute. Yeah, it is error because of this. We have used a wrong. Yeah, it is working fine now. Yeah, we have. If we enter the wrong here, so it will give. It is giving the error, and it is error was due to this. If we enter the right query here, it will show the right data here. Here is a member drone application head which have the name drone one, and it has the maximum speed 200. So we can query for all these things like anomaly collection. It will fetch the anomaly collection members. It will show it. And also we can all these things. And like this drone collection have stored in this. So we can, if we do this, it will not take too much time. It will take the data from the Redis directly because we are caching it. And that's all.
Cool, thanks. I have another dumb question, but what are you actually taking into consideration when you query the API server? Just the API documentation or the responses as well?
Yeah, here we are taking data from the Hydra server. So for first, we have used the documentation only, but after that, we have pick up the data from the server.
But it didn't look like you could browse further once you get a response, like that, drone 8 or whatever it returned. It just returned the URL, but nothing else about the drone, and it didn't seem like you could, you know, explore like by just browsing further. Is that intentional or is that just because it's not done yet or?
Sorry, can you repeat?
So you had that like, mini query language to retrieve data. And in some cases it brings down to the API collection, drone collection, and drone 8. But it just returned the URL of drone 8. Not any additional data about that drone. And it didn't look like you could, take the response and then explore the API further, using hypermedia parentheses. Is that intentional, or is that just because you haven't implemented yet, or is that like a fundamental design decision that you took, or something else?
Hello.
Yeah, if I may answer. Yeah, I mean, the objective of this demonstration was actually to query the data and find out which IDs were actually assigned some properties. So basically, yeah, then there is the next step would be actually to query the server to retrieve the full object and then allows the client to read the payload and use the data that is in the payload. But the objective was actually to rebuild, to build a graph client side that would represent the content of the Hydra server and then query the content of the Hydra server, filtering by properties. The full object can actually be retrieved by visiting the endpoints and receiving the payload in the response.
Okay, then I have a follow-up question. So what do you mean by querying the server? How do you query the server?
You want, Sandeep, you want to answer that? Oh, it's gone.
Looks like connection dropped.
Yeah, basically, I will answer now. Then maybe it can also be more extensive on this. Yeah, basically, through the API documentation, a graph is built using GraphLib, Redis GraphLib, and some properties that are actually encoded by the developer are actually indexed. There are two indexes, and now probably Sandeep can actually tell more about how the indexing work and how the query can actually run over the indexes.
Yeah, hello.
Hey.
Sandeep, can you explain how the indexing works, please?
Yeah, sure. Just a minute. So we are talking about indexing for the complex queries. Hello?
No, like more like an overall thing of what's actually going on there, like, you know, behind the curtain.
So,
like you showed something on the command line, but it was not clear to me what data you get from the server, how you query the server, etc., etc.
Yeah, okay. I am using the simple endpoints here. And with the help of endpoints, we are getting the data from the server, and we are using this data and fetch that and filter that, and then stored in cache. And for that, we have some keywords like collection, classes. We have different these, and collection and classes, we have different. And in the collection, we have the members, which are treating like objects, and in the class, there are properties which are treated as properties, and the objects of the collection is also treated as a class, because it can be a, it also can be properties, and it also can have properties just like a class. So there are the properties, and for these properties, we can also pass the properties values, like what is the, just like we can take an example, like what is the maximum speed of any drone, what is the model of any drone, or what is the name of drone, just like this. Here the property is just like maximum speed is just like property, and its value is just like 200 or 300. So I have indexing on the basis of its properties and its value.
Yes, basically the developer, the API developer, can actually also encode some of the properties he is interested into, and the client builds an index over by going through the collection in the API documentation. So basically, when the client is actually at startup time, it builds these indexes based on the properties pointed out by the API developer. And then that's how then querying is done by using the indexes.
Okay, I see, thanks.
And we also have some future work about that, because it was the very first implementation of that. We have some future work just like synchronization with the Hydra server, because we are caching the data, but we are not aware of the changing the data in the server. We have fetched that and stored that there, but after that there can in the server there in the server can be changed, data can be changed. So we need to synchronization with the Hydra server, with the Hydra client. So it is a
we have still more features to implement in the future to actually make this querying consistent between server side and client side.
I see.
And I would like also Akshay and Chris to have a few words about their mentorship experience, because last year they were the students, this year they are the mentors. So I would like just to hear a few words from them, how everything is gone and has gone, and what are their plans for the future of Nexlisoft.
Yeah, so hi everyone. This time around for GSOC, I was there during the initial 1.5 months of GSOC, and that time I was coordinating with both the students, but due to some personal problems, I could not continue for the remaining 1.5 months. I really enjoyed the time I spent with the students, and I'm sure they learned a lot, and we also learned a lot about mentorship and how we're supposed to move things forward and make other people join the community and work on what we have already done. I definitely like to do this again next year if it's possible. It was a good experience overall.
Cool. Okay, Akshay writes in the chat that he doesn't have his mic right now, but he liked the experience as well. Maybe Lorenzo, maybe you want to ask
a few words. Yeah, guys, I mean, we are at the first year now as the Google open source program organization, and I mean, everything is really, really under prototyping phases, I'm really optimistic about, because I mean, we are building some nice community with a lot of young students, and if we actually want to have actually as also Carl was saying, if we want to actually attract more developers into Hydra, we should start from the basics and get them involved in using Hydra. So that's also the plan for next years, and hopefully we will have the energies to carry on.
Cool. Does anyone have any questions so far? Or to the talk that we just heard?
Yeah, right. Akshay actually was the first to present a talk at PyCon about Hydra and Hydrus this year. So probably soon we will have the video published of his presentation at PyCon India 2018. So that would be great also to follow.
Cool. Looking forward to it. There's one more topic on the agenda, which is process going forward. I don't know exactly what it is about, because I don't know who put it there and why. So is the person that put it on the agenda here?
Yeah, that was basically how we'll go forward with GSOC next year. I didn't actually clarify it properly, I guess.
Okay, I see. Is there anything you want to discuss about that today, or?
So basically, yeah, we actually need now to find out new project ideas for next year, and also we need to decide how to organize ourselves in terms of formally. I mean. We had a talk about this, an email exchange about this, how to actually collect and make work the funds that we will get also next year from Google. So I don't know if anybody has some proposals about it, or because yeah, this year maybe not everybody knows this. The funds we received from Google were actually donated to charities, and those are all funds that can be actually used for developing the community. So like, I don't know, allowing people to go to conference and speak about Hydra or whatever, any use, like, for example, like other Google open source communities provide swag in exchange for contribution or things like that. This kind of initiative that can make actually the community to develop with more resources. But yeah, we can actually take these things offline and talk about it in the mailing list.
Yeah, okay. I guess let's do that. I mean, there's still plenty of time till next year.
Okay, that's it, I think, then. Hope you enjoyed. If there are any other questions for the students or also for the mentors. Hopefully, I don't know if you want to try the code. It's all there in the repository. So also the next days so you can actually keep talking about in the channel or on the mailing list.
I guess what was really useful so far always with kind of every piece of code that we had is if it's somewhere up and running so that people can just play with it immediately without having to download stuff and install it, etc. So if we could do that somehow, like, I don't know, on a free Heroku instance or I don't know where, doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we are running now. There are three instances, the three Google Cloud instances we are running. And one is the server from the last year, the drone demo. Then we have like another instance that is up to Vibab to maintain, that actually run its own demo with the OpenAPI conversion tool. And then now we want to start up also an agent that Sandeep will take care of it, an agent instance to actually do what you have just said, to have a demo online. Stuff like that.
Yeah, that's great. Maybe you could share some of those links in the mailing list after the conference, after the call here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Akshay and Chris can actually, they are the, and the students and Vaibhav and Sandeep, they are the best to actually talk about what they are doing with the instances.
Right. We're basically out of time, so unless someone has some last question or remark or something, we can finish a full 3 minutes early.
Yeah, so I shared some a small list of like problematic areas on the IRC channel. I think I have actually shot an email in the mailing list as well with these questions, and I think you answered them as well.
Okay, well, anyway, if they are on IRC, we'll also include them in a minute and then we can take it from there. So thanks.
Yeah, sure.
Let's see, actually I just posted a couple of links. That's great as well. Anything else? If not, thanks a lot again for the great presentations, and let's move the conversation to the mailing list, I guess, for this. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah.
Great work.
Thank you.
Let's see what's going on next year.
Thanks.